Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of being your son. And Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters gathered here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us all and that you will bless us through your word. Lord, that you will use me as your tool, and anything that's not of you, Lord, just blow it away like chaff in the wind, because we only want to hear from you this morning, Lord. So Lord, just bless me and strengthen me as I bring the word that you've laid in my heart. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. This word came to me as I was reading through Hebrews 11. Now, I'm not going to read all of Hebrews 11 because it's quite a long chapter, but I'm going to talk on it, and I'm using the scriptures from it as we go through. But your homework, should you choose to accept it when you go home, is read Hebrews 11 for yourselves. But I want to start on a light note. It's just a little story. A man was out hiking and he got a bit close to the edge of a cliff. And all of a sudden, he lost his footing. And as he started to slide over the edge, he grabbed onto this little bush that was there. And you can imagine the shock and the fear and the terror that was in his heart as he went over there. And just this scrubby little bush was keeping him from falling hundreds of feet below. Filled with terror, he calls out toward heaven, "Is there anybody up there? Is there anybody up there?" Because he's desperate for help. And this powerful voice, calm voice, came from the sky, says, "Yes, there is." The man asked, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" The voice replied, "Do you believe I could help you?" "Yes, I do. I believe. I believe." "Do you have faith?" "Yes, I have faith." "I have strong faith," the calm voice said. "Well, in that case, simply let go of the bush and everything will be all right." There was a tense pause, and then the man yelled, "Is there anybody else up there?" You know, now, can't we be just like him? When we get the answer we don't expect, it doesn't meet our expectations. It's one thing to talk about faith, but it's quite another to act on faith. Now, I've entitled this talk this morning, "Faith Is." I'm not asking what is faith, because that's a question. I'm reading from the scripture, going and making a statement of what faith is. Faith is. Now, we have to ask ourselves a question. Do we have faith? Is our faith strong or weak? What steps can we take to make it stronger, to exercise it? It's necessary to recognize the importance of faith and how it helps us in our daily struggle, enabling us to do all and to be all that Christ wants us to be. Today, I simply want us to get a grasp of what faith is. And there isn't one easy way to define it. So this morning, I want us to consider six different statements that are derived from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, as I said. Faith is believing, even when we don't see it. A pastor had a small son, and his mother told him that he should always wash his hands because there's germs living in the dirt. And the young lad, he refused and complained, "Germs in Jesus, germs in Jesus. That's all I ever hear around this house, and I've never seen either one of them." Hebrews 11 in verse 1 tells us, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." It may sound like a contradiction, but the Bible teaches that faith is visualizing the future in the present. It's being sure of what you don't see. It is seeing in advance. Man says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. In 1960, John F. Kennedy said, "Let's put a man on the moon by the end of the decade." Now, when he made that statement, technology did not exist to put a man on the moon. But John F. Kennedy had a vision, something that he believed. Now, before you can see this anything, you've got to believe about it in advance. When you think about it, everything that happened in this world of ours was an impossibility before it became a reality. Somebody had to believe it to make it happen, and it had to be in the Lord's will as well, or it wouldn't have happened. Faith is simply trusting God to turn dreams into reality, because nothing happens, nor can it, until somebody believes that it's possible. What do we see then in our own future? What is your dream? What impossible thing is God going to do in each one of our lives? We need to have faith that it's going to happen for it to happen. You must have faith that God can and will do these things in your life. In Jeremiah, my favorite prophet, I've quoted many times, in verse 11 of chapter 29, we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What then do we envisage as the future of this church? What can we be sure of? Especially today when we've had communion, we're all with his gloves and his mask. You know, it's hard to see what we can be certain about. But I'll tell you, we can be sure that God is going to be with us in all that we do. I see by faith that this church, it was built 300 years ago plus for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to glorify God. And I believe that this church ministered to hundreds and reached out to hundreds of people in Coningsby during that time. And I think and see that we have a future by doing that and continuing that legacy. To bring people of Coningsby to Christ, disciplining them into the maturity of the faith. And I know by faith, and I can see it as clearly as I can see you this morning. But when will it happen, you ask? Well, it won't happen until the Lord says the time is right. When we as a church body have grown and are ready and able and strong enough to cope with the task. And the only way we can be strong enough to cope with the task is if we draw on his strength, because without him, we can do nothing. Faith is also obeying, even when we don't understand. In Hebrews 11 and verse 8, we read, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Now we know this story. Abram is living in the land of Ur. That's how I pronounce it anyway. He's 75 years old. God tells Abram that he is going to send him on a journey. He doesn't tell him the name of the place he's going to send him to. He doesn't tell him how far away it is. The question I would ask each one of us this morning, would we have gone? Faith is obeying, even when we don't understand. And at 75-year-old Abram starts out on the greatest journey of his life and becomes the father of a nation. Faith is obeying when we don't understand it. Now, there's a lot of people who want a guarantee of success before they try anything. But God says no, because faith always involves risks. God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to rely on Him. As a child, I'm sure your parents told you to do some things that you didn't want to do, some things you didn't see made any sense to you at that time. And it's not until later, as you mature, and maybe you have children of your own, in hindsight, as it were, you realize that Mum and Dad were incredibly wise in what they said. And that's the way it is with God. When you accept God, you become adopted into His family. You become a dependent of His. And dependents are supposed to depend. That's why they're dependents. They depend on their parents. And we need to depend on the Lord. Faith is doing the right thing, even when it seems absurd. Faith is believing when you can't see it and don't see it. And faith is believing even when you don't understand it. Faith is giving when it hurts. Now, this is the treasure bit that I don't like, but it's got to be done. Do you know that faith is giving when you don't have it to give? Giving and faith go together. In fact, God uses our finances to test us from time to time. Have you ever had to decide whether to pay a bill or to tithe? Could God be testing us to see how much we trust Him and depend on Him? There are two ways that we can give. We can give by faith, or you can give by fear. Giving by fear is when you say, how much can I afford to give and not leave myself without the extra bottle of wine or whatever you take your fancy. Giving by faith is when you say, how much does God want me to give? Especially when money is scarce. That's what it means to give by faith. Abel gave in faith, and in Hebrews 11b we are told, by faith he, Abel, was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. When Paul was taking up a collection amongst believers to help their friends in Jerusalem, the Macedonian Christians, who were having a tough time themselves, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 to 3, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, even entirely on their own. Now, it's one thing to give when we've got it to spare. It's another thing to give when we don't know where the next penny is coming from. That's real faith, giving when we don't have it to give. But you need to remember, we need to remember, that God is no man's debtor. Yeah? He will repay. God's faith is persisting, even when you don't feel like it. The culture today, people base everything they do on how they feel. Feelings lead them by the nose, as it were. In other words, if you feel like doing it, do it. If you don't feel like doing it, doesn't matter. Don't bother. Don't do it. That's a guaranteed formula for spiritual immaturity. Only immature people would build their lives on feelings rather than on commitments. What can happen when we live our lives based on feelings, we can end up being manipulated by our moods. We flip-flop around because of our mood swings. We feel different from one day to the next. The real mark of spiritual maturity is when we live our lives by our commitment rather than our feelings. The truth is, we don't always feel like doing what's right, do we? I know I don't. I don't always want to spend time reading the Bible, praying, or coming down to church. There are times when you think, oh, wouldn't it be nice just to turn over and lie in bed? But, you know, successful people are only successful people because they don't rely on their feelings. They succeed because they develop habits of educating themselves in their field or doing what's needed to build them up. Unsuccessful people don't feel like being developed. It's like they like to use their time to please themselves, how they feel, rather than use it to build up their skills, to use it wisely. You know, if you're not persistent about sharpening your skills, you won't become good at anything. If you want to be a good musician, as Daniel will tell you, it takes a lot of practice on that keyboard. If you're not prepared to put in the effort, you won't get the rewards. And godly men and women are not considered to be godly just by feelings. Instead, they develop habits in their lives that discipline them and give them a daily time together with God. And they do it whether they feel like it or not. It's a sacrifice of praise, as it were. And that's what really pleases God. If you don't like doing it, but you do it, you spend time with Him, it pleases God. Why? I could never understand it. Why is God pleased when we do something when we don't really want to do it? It's because if you're doing it in faith, and it's our faithfulness which pleases God. Being faithful to Him is what pleases God. That's what gives Him the greatest pleasure. Believing when you don't see it, obeying when you don't understand it, giving when you don't have it, and persisting when you don't feel like it. That's faith. Faith is being persistent. It's refusing to give up, no matter how tired you may feel or how discouraged you may be. Don't worry about feelings. Trust in Him. So how do we get the kind of persistence? Well, consider this verse from Hebrews 11:27. By faith, this is Moses, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Note that last phrase, he saw him who is invisible. You might like to take note of that. We can only accomplish the impossible when we see the invisible. If we keep our eyes on God, He will give us the power to keep keeping on. Faith is thanking God before you receive it. Now, Joshua is a good example of this. Here in Hebrews 11:30, we read, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. During Israel's wandering, they came up against the most fortified city in the world at that time, Jericho with its enormous walls. Now here are people who have been slaves for 400 years. They're not a trained army. They have no weapons to speak of. And God says, okay, here's my plan. I want you to walk around this city once a day for 6 days. Just march around in silence. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times. And I want you to be thanking me in advance during this time. Trust in me this is going to be a statement of faith. You are marching around because you expect me to do the work. And they're marching around just as God told them. And just like that old spiritual hymn says, the walls came tumbling down. They had the victory. What were they doing? They were thanking God in advance. That's what faith is. Faith is believing God can do it. God can do it, whether you believe it or not. His ability is not dependent on our faith, and it's a good job it's not. Faith isn't even believing he will do it. That's hope. I hope he will. I hope he'll answer my prayer. I hope he'll save my marriage. I hope he'll get me a job. I hope he'll find me a partner. I hope I'll get well. That's hope. Faith is thanking God in advance. It's believing that God is already doing it in the present. That's the answer. The answer is already on its way. Let's look at verse 24 of Mark 11. It reads, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Notice the past tense. Believe that you have received it. That's what faith is. Believing you've already received it. If you wait until you receive the answer to thank God, is that faith? No, that's simply gratitude. Faith is thanking God in advance. The Bible is full of stories that shows this principle, that faith is thanking God in advance. Faith is trusting. If we don't get it, two facts about prayer. God always answers and hears every prayer. He always hears and answers every prayer. God does not answer prayers the way we want them to at times. Have you ever found that to be true? Sometimes his answer is, "You've got to be kidding," or "No way," or "Not yet." Wait, be still and know that I am God. God answers it in many different ways, and sometimes God says no. Why? Because he doesn't love you? No. But because he does love us. God is not a vending machine where you can put in a prayer and get out whatever you've asked for. Vending machines, I've always found, can give you stuff that can kill you, like cigarettes and things like that. But God will never give you anything that won't benefit you spiritually. Now here in Hebrews 11, there is a list of people who suffered for their faith. Some of them got their heads cut off. Some of them were burnt at the stake, and some of them got their eyes poked out. Some of them were drowned. All kinds of gruesome and horrible stuff happened to them. And yet, the Bible tells us these were heroes of faith. Is that going to happen to us? We don't know. Might be. But you know, I go back to Jeremiah. He's plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. God doesn't say we won't have any problems. And faith doesn't exempt you from them. In fact, sometimes we pray for God to remove a difficult situation or a problem, but instead of taking it away from us, he just gives us the strength to go through it, to fight our way through. Why does he do that? Because God is more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. God wants to make us people of integrity and stability. He wants to grow our Christian values, and the only way that we can hone our character is by going through the exercise, going through the tough times. There will be times when you don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. I'll say that again. There will be times when you don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. And then you will realize that you must depend on him. If we look at these verses from Hebrews 11, 39 to 40, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now hold on there. He's talking about heroes of faith. He said these people had promises and dreams, and they didn't come true. And yet they're still heroes of the faith. Yes, because they trusted even when they didn't receive it. Anybody can trust God when things are going great, but real faith develops in the valleys of life when the dream is delayed. Martin Luther King had a dream for racial equality. He didn't see it happen in his lifetime. We still hope and pray for it today, and it hasn't happened yet. But that didn't mean that Martin Luther didn't have faith. Moses had a dream of going into the promised land, but he died in the desert. He never got to see the promised land. Well, he saw it from the top of the mountain, didn't he? But he never got into the promised land. But he's still considered a great man of faith. In fact, the Bible says later he did get to see it more closely when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah, where they met with Jesus. And they talked. He did get to see it eventually. What am I saying? I'm saying that faith is trusting God, even when we don't get the answer that we want. Let me close by saying that some of us may be trying to face full-time problems on part-time faith. Well, that's just not going to work. We need a full-time, head-on, born-again faith to handle all the problems that we're going to encounter in this world. And you know, the closer we are to God, the more we're going to be attacked by the evil one. The more times doubts are going to be put on our head, and we're going to be reminded of things that we don't measure up to. But God knows that we are not perfect. We can only claim his cover of righteousness, because we've got no righteousness of our own. And that's what we've got to hold on to and not listen to the father of all lies trying to put doubt on our shoulders, not trying to live up to the standards of Billy Graham or some other great theologian who you think, well, I'm not a patch on him, because Billy Graham could only do what the Lord and the Holy Spirit enabled him to do, and it's the Holy Spirit that convicts. It's not the preacher or the orator. So no matter how humble, simple a word you've got to say, if it comes from the Holy Spirit and you're giving it to somebody that you know, trust in the Lord to do the work. He is the one that's going to do the work. It's not up to us. We're like the farmer. We sow the seed, and sometimes we don't see it growing. The farmer is lucky at times, he'll see it growing and he gets a good harvest, but it's the Lord that waters the seed that makes it grow. It's not the farmer that makes it grow. It's the Lord, his provisions. And the starting point of achieving what God has planned for us is by establishing an ongoing relationship with Jesus and putting our trust in him and in him alone. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all your promises. All of your promises are yes and amen. And Lord, we just pray that you will just help us to be strong enough and to be faithful enough and be determined enough and to not let feelings direct our moods and how we react, but let us move in faith and trust and believe that you have our best will at heart, and you are always care for your children. no matter what. Just as we care for our children, no matter when they disappoint us. Lord, how hard is it for us to understand that we're just like that when you're concerned. You love us no matter what. So Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to be merciful to us. Forgive us our transgressions. And we need to remember that we need daily contact with you because you love to hear from your children just as we love to hear from our children. So Lord, just bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.